But it's in relation, I believe, to what's already transpired, but I just believe there's a further depth of it. Consequences of just not flowing with God, for lack of better words. It's not like we're trying to make anything up, but you know, God wants us to cooperate with him. Amen? Because it's a real relationship. It's not just, you know, we come here, we listen to the preacher preach, and then we go home and we live our same old normal lives. It's our meeting place with God. The children of Israel, the congregation in the wilderness, they had a tabernacle that they transported through the wilderness. And wherever God stopped is where they stopped, and they set the tabernacle up. The glory cloud just remained in one position, if you will. And then when God moved, they packed everything up and they just moved with the glory cloud or God's presence that was with them. And so anyways, they got their instructions and all, but it's not to be a formality. It's a reality. A reality of things that, yes, God exists, and yes, God still speaks to his people today. And he doesn't want mechanical people. He doesn't want robots. He wants living beings that were made in his image and after his likeness that he can commune with and fellowship with. And, you know, he knows what's best for us, so he can give us what's best for us, what we need from him. And then he wants to be glorified out of what he invests or instills in us. So with that being said, the word rancor came up this morning in prayer. And I wasn't sure what the Lord was saying. I know what it means, and I'm going to give you the definition of it as far as Webster's. But, you know, there's one word that you think of that comes out of the word rancor, and that's the word bitterness. I think I'm on the right track with that. And bitterness is just unfulfilled revenge. You know, it's like you want vengeance. You want to get even with the person who has wronged you and done you wrong. And so until you can get that, you're bitter and angry. And until you see something executed upon that person, something bad, something devastating happening to them as a result of what they did to you, you're just not fulfilled. And if you see it happen, you live to see it happen, and all, you're happy, like, yeah, finally they got what they deserve and all. And so Dad doesn't want that on his people, that spirit. That spirit is of the world. That spirit will ruin you. It's like a cancer, if you will, but instead of destroying the body, it destroys the soul and the spirit of the individual. And so you just become a living corpse that walks around angry and bitter with life itself because of what someone has done to you. That makes sense? Let me give you the definition for rancor. And if the Spirit of God quickens you, then just say, that's me, Lord, forgive me. I release the person. I release the situation, the matter. I release it and let it go. And this is a definition for rancor. An angry feeling of hatred or dislike for someone who has treated you unfairly. And that's not going off of the 411 of what took place at the altar. I was reminded at the altar of the word that came forth in prayer. And so anyways, I just released that now, not releasing it to spread, if you will, in that regards, but to heal and make whole, whoever that may apply to, and just give you further instructions or to see the necessity of receiving the release or releasing, if you will. Receiving the release, if somebody comes to you and says, please forgive me for the wrong that I did to you, and you receive that, and, you know, releasing if somebody has done something to you and you just freely, you let them go. You don't hold anything against them because God's not holding anything against you. And if God holds, you know, as the psalmist said, Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who can stand? Boy, it's quiet in here. Praise God. We must have some transgressions before God that we don't want him to mark them or make them known. Or, all right. Sister Lori, would you please roll that screen down? It's got everyone's sin and transgression that they ever committed before God. It's going to No. But anyways, it said it, if you mark our transgressions, who can stand in your presence? And so God has freely forgiven us. And Jesus, when he taught the prayer, when the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, like John taught his disciples, Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses, even as we forgive those who are indebted or have trespassed against us. And so it's just a natural process. It's like we receive forgiveness and we release forgiveness to others. We don't want to hold anybody up. We don't want to make anybody lose their eternal reward in God. We want everybody to be saved, because sin is what's caused all the problems. It's not because being black or white or, you know, anywhere in between. When I say anywhere between, it's not being disrespectful, but I can go down the list of Latino, Hispanic, Filipino, Japanese, you know, Chinese, and all. You can go through all the ethnicities. I mean, what are there, 160-something countries, I think, or somewhere in there. And so you have all of these variations of ethnicities. So it's like stuff happens to us all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have missed the mark, if you will. And the reason many of us hate somebody is a result of sin. It's not even just because of the person's skin color or because of the person's body odor, if you will, or just, you know, it's just sin. It's just downright sin. You are made in the image and likeness of God. God is full of love. And if God has given you his spirit and his grace, if you will, then you are filled with the love of God. And you can love even your enemy. Hallelujah. You can love the person that is against you. Yeah. Feel sorry for them. What do you mean feel sorry for them? Yeah, feel sorry for them because they don't know who they're against. They think it's you, but it's against God, because God is for you. So if he's for you, who can be against you? So when they come against you, they're coming against God. That's a losing battle for anybody. Yeah, you pity people who you know, don't like you for no reason at all or whatever reason they may have. It's like you pity them because you're coming against God. Well, who do you think you are, child of God? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is my Father. I am his Son. Amen. I belong to him. He belongs to me. Amen. And so, therefore, I can't even afford to hate people. You have every reason to hate people, but you can't afford to hate people. You got to love. You got too much love in your heart. The love of God has been poured out, shed abroad in your heart, if you will. And so people sin and they make mistakes and they do things that are evil and wicked. And some things, you know, a person doesn't even deserve the right to live, if you will, for some of the deeds that people have done. Nevertheless, you know, spending eternity in hell is a bad place for anybody, no matter what they've done. And the only one who cannot be forgiven is Satan and his demons. There's no place of forgiveness for the devil and his demons. But there's a place of forgiveness for every person made in the image and likeness of God if they repent. If they do not repent, then they're going to perish. It's just plain and simple. So we don't want rancor, that spirit, to be prevalent within our lives. We want to forgive people, let them go, release them, if you will. We don't want to be so angry and hating people because of what they've done or just because of who they are. Not the church. The world has that problem, but not the church of the living God. Amen? God's trying to save people. He's not trying to condemn people. Even Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. He says the Father doesn't even condemn us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So with that being said, let's move right on. Mark chapter 4, out of the Amplified Translation, says something like this. Let me go there. I have too many Bibles up here. That means I'm armed. Armed and dangerous. You got it, brother. Amen. Armed and dangerous. Some people have just a 38. Some people have a 22. Some people have a 32. Some people have a 45. Some people have all of them. And that's what I got up here. But anyways, out of the Amplified Translation, where in verse 24, where it says, well, this is not Amplified. This is the Modern English Version, or MEV. It says, he said to them, take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be measured for you, and to you who hear will more be given. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not will be taken even what he has. And so in the Amplified, as I've said, you know, especially over the last few weeks, what it says is the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you and more also. And so we can't just treat God's word like we would any other book. You just don't get it just by reading it one time. You don't get it just by, you know, even just memorizing a scripture, if you will. It doesn't necessarily mean you get it. You're on the path to getting it, but you want to make sure that you get it. The writer in Proverbs says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding as well. And so it's like, don't just settle for the surface. Go in deeper to the things of God. Extract everything that God has in there. Because like spinach, it's good for you. Amen? Change and transform your life. Make you stronger than Popeye. And give some of you a chance to smile. Praise God. But anyways, the word of God is alive according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's alive. And the Amplified again says it's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective, if you will. And that's what the scriptures are saying about itself. And so when that word gets inside of us, it does not lose its power, authority, or dominion, or might. It still packs it within itself, but it's up to us to unravel it, to get all of the nutrients, if you will, that's in there to make us strong, alive, and active, and powerful, if you will. Not that we want to be powerful to make a name for ourselves, but we want to be powerful for the glory of God. Because God needs a strong church, amen, not a weak one. You heard me say it before, and I'll continue to say it, especially if we have new people coming in, because there's just something that people need to hear from God and what he's saying to the church of the living God. We can't afford to be a weak church and yet accomplish great things for God. We've got to be strong, as Paul says, in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, the ability and power that God supplies to us, that's what we have to be strong in. We have to have faith, confidence in God, that his way is the right way and his way is the only way. His way is the only way that leads unto life, if you will. Jesus is light, and his light is the life of men. And the revelation of who Jesus Christ is on the inside of us produces light, illumination, revelation, understanding, if you will. And so we get to go deeper and deeper and deeper, even if it's at the same particular passage. Some passages of scripture, you can just preach 20 different ways, if you will, and still be accurate, not teaching out of context, because of the power that is wrapped up in that particular passage, if you will. The word of God is just powerful. You can't just put limitations on God's word. Mind you, you cannot let the word of God function in you, but you can't put limitations on God's word. Because this word, when it's released and the faith that is necessary or required of us as his people mix with the word, it does things that we could not do on our own. It remains powerful whether we receive it or whether we ignore it. It's best for us to receive it. And as the writer says, the measure of thought and study out of the Amplified Translation, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear is the measure of virtue and knowledge that shall come back to you, and then more also, because God is always giving more and there's always more to God. We never get to the place where we say we have arrived, not in these earthen vessels. We'll never get to that place. So always be room for growth, maturity, for learning. There'll always be room for revelation. As I've said before, I just think God is just going to blow our minds for all eternity. He's just going to keep showing us more and more and more and more and more and more and more, if you will. We're not going to be bored in glory. Yeah, too much to see, too much to do. And we give God all the glory that we're part of his eternal plan. Amen? All right. So with that being said, let's go... That was Mark chapter 4, verse 24. that I quoted for you. Let's go on into this particular passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're not going to be very long, not today, because I believe God's work has been done. I'm just going to give you a little word so you won't think that, you know, you got cheated or ripped off. Praise be unto God. Yeah, amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, we thank you for this incorruptible, infallible word that we're about to receive with meekness, which is your engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Amen. Let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Peter says this, therefore put away all wickedness. Now, this is, the word is good. The word is good. The word is good. It's not coming to us in such a way that it doesn't come to condemn. We might feel condemned. We might feel guilty by some of the things that the Word of God brings out. But the intent is not to leave us in the guilt, but bring us to the place of repentance so that we can be made healed. We can be made whole. We can be healed and be made whole, if you will. So the Word of God goes forth, and we want it to go in free course, if you will. And it says, put away all wickedness. Now, why would we even put away wickedness? Because the wickedness that we do is usually feeling good to us. That's why most people do the sins that they sin, commit the sins that they do, because it feels good to them. You know, you wouldn't be doing sinful things if it didn't feel good to you. But it has harmful effects. It has detrimental effects. It has effects that will affect you for all eternity. There are consequences that we will have to pay. It's a price to pay for that lifestyle that Jesus has delivered us from. But once we are saved, we still have the ability to go and do those very things again, because God is not making puppets out of us or robots out of us. He still lets us live. He still lets us make decisions. He still allows us to navigate, if you will, these lives. Now, he wants to be in the driver's seat, taking us to the places that he wants us to go. But nevertheless, he's not going to come against our will if our will is to do contrary to what his will is for us. So what God wants is for us to simply allow the new born again spirit that we have received from him when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We got born from above. We got born out of the womb of heaven, if you will, through the church of the living God. And now we have the nature of God. We have the nature of Christ. Before that, we had the sinful nature of man that came from our mom and dad all the way back to Adam and Eve, if you will. And we all came out of Adam and Eve, so there's no reason for us to think that because we were born in a particular place, we are better than or less than. We all go back to our pristine father and mother, which was Adam and Eve, and they sinned before they had anybody else. Praise God. Not praise God that they sinned, but praise God that we all came from the same parents. Amen. And so we may look different, but nevertheless, sin doesn't know culture, doesn't know ethnicity. Sin is no respecter of persons. It has flooded every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever been born on this planet from the two that were created in the image and likeness of God. So Peter says, put away. In other words, stop doing this. Put an end to this in your life. Wickedness. Wickedness is allowing the sinful Adamic nature to rule our lives. Deceit or trickery, if you will. Hypocrisy, faking it till you make it. I hate that phrase, and I hate when I hear it said. I hate when I read it. Those of you who have been reading Elder Canfield's book, you notice in one of those lessons that he teaches, he talks about faking until you make it. I understand what they mean by that. I just believe that there's a better term for the saints of God. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but if I have something that I think works better for me than what they have to offer, I'll just choose what works better for me. Amen? Because God never called us to fake anything. That's hypocrisy. Okay? He wants us to be true to ourselves. If we're a sinner and we're a hard sinner, God don't want us to try and say we're a saint. Amen? Let's not even try and say, you know, I'm saved. You're not saved. You're still living that old unsaved lifestyle. If you were saved, you wouldn't live that unsaved lifestyle, if you will. But God would prefer us to be honest. And so rather than saying fake it till you make it, faith it, F-A-I-T-H, till you make it. You continue to believe until all the transformation process is done, until the work is final. You continue to believe and trust God. You have his word as a basis, if you will. You have his word as a direction. You have his word as instruction to get you from where you are to where God wants you to be. And it is following that word, and it is faith that must follow that word. It is faith that must mix with that word to get you from point A to point B, if you will. And of course, I'm going backwards, but that's okay. It's going forward for you. So without exercising faith in what God has to say, there's really no possibility of arriving to the destination that God wants us to get to. And if all we're doing is faking and pretending, we're really not going to get to that place, because all we do is just pretend. We pretend. And it's like, no, this is not pretend. This is real. This lifestyle that we're called to live, it's a real life. So Peter goes on. He says, therefore, put away all wickedness, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, which is jealousy, and all evil speaking. Boy, this tongue is something else. James says it like this. With it, we bless God, and with it, we curse man who's made in the similitude of God. And that's just how the tongue can be. One minute we're praising God, and the next minute we're releasing profanity on anybody and everybody that's in our path. And it's like those things shouldn't be so, because bitter and sweet water shouldn't be coming from the same fountain, if you will. So what has to happen is we got to train this thing. Now, James says that it's impossible to train the tongue. He said we can tame animals. I mean, and you've seen it at the zoos and places like that. You can teach dogs new tricks and stuff like that. And you have the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But we can teach and train animals, if you will. But James is like, when it comes to the tongue, man, that is one unruly member. And it is set in the body in a particular place where it will defile the entire body. That's just how powerful the tongue is. And so the thing of it is that we can't teach or train an uncircumcised, dead in trespasses and sins tongue. But when we get born again, we get an opportunity to renew our minds. We get an opportunity to start to speak the words of life, if you will, and stop speaking the words of death. For the Bible truly says that death and life are in the power of the. Death and life are in the power of the. So if my tongue can speak death and my tongue can speak life, if I have the choice in the matter, let me choose to speak life. And so let me teach and train now, because I got eternal life in me now. I don't have that 70 life or anywhere in between, or maybe a few years above that, if you will. Now I got eternal life. So let me teach and train this thing how to speak life to situations rather than to speak death. It's easy to speak death to something that is dying. But we have the ability to speak resurrection power to something that is dying, that it may live and declare the glory of God, which is what it ought to do. So let me train this thing to do the right thing now. It is no longer an uncircumcised, unsaved tongue. It is now a new tongue that I've received from God. Now, I've gotten baptized with the Holy Ghost with biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, based on the scripture, not based on theology of man, where he says the gifts are old and faded away, or not necessarily old, but they're no longer necessary. Well, you know, if we go with everybody that says things are no longer necessary, we'll end up being atheists. Because we've gotten to the place now they don't want God in the schools, they don't want God in government, they don't want God in businesses. So if you preach on your job, they fire you, dot, dot, dot. They just don't want God anywhere. And if we're foolish enough to let them do that, knowing that God is God, shame on us. They need to see that, yes, God is real, alive, and active, and he's active today in Jesus' mighty name. And they need to see them or see God active in our lives personally. So I have received the baptism with the Holy Ghost with biblical evidence and speaking in other tongues. Whether people say it passed away, you know, with the apostles and all, and that there's no more apostles, there's no more prophets, it's just pastors and teachers, if you will. If we go along that line of theological thinking, we're going to miss out on so much of God that it's going to be shameful for us. And we need everything that God has released or put in our at our disposal, if you will, in order to be the church that he calls us to be. Because, again, Dad wants us to be strong in him and in the power of his might. He doesn't want us to be weak. The Bible says, let the weak man say that I am strong, if you will. And so we need to even prophesy to ourselves. We need to look in that mirror. And I think I put that in your bulletin. Next time you look in the mirror, you know, just say, God, don't make no junk. And so others may think that you're junk, but don't you let them, their thinking, make you think that you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a special treasure, if you will. I can tell you, go on and on about what the scripture says about you. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people who have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So if you look in the mirror and you see darkness, cast that darkness out in Jesus' name so that the light of Christ can illuminate you, that you'll see who you are in Christ and not just who you are just as an individual without hope and without God. So Peter, when he's saying, you know, put away this stuff, he's really telling us to step into who we are in Christ. Because he doesn't just stop at, you know, put away this stuff. He says, verse 2, as newborn babes, or newborn babies, as this translation says. And we know how it is with a newborn. A newborn can't do anything for themselves. All they can do, they come out of the womb crying. Many of us did. They came out of the womb hungry. Many of us did. And whether we were taught, trained, or conditioned, or came out naturally to respond to our mother's nipple for nourishment, or whether we got the bottle. And for some of us, we may have come up off of, I didn't, Enfamil, if you will, Similac, if you will, and other name brands that they have out there. But you came out and you needed milk in order to sustain you. You could not have steak. You could not have hamburger. You could not have French fries. You could not have none of the fast food stuff that they get filled with now after they've gotten to a place where they're off of milk and they're onto table food. For us, it was, you know, table food from knee high on up, if you will. But as newborn babes, they have a natural inclination to gravitate towards milk, the mother's milk, or the imitation milk that you mix with water, if you will. And he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word or the purity of God's word. So a baby, you don't have to tell a baby it's time to eat. The baby will let you know it's time to eat. It's up to you to provide the baby with what the baby needs in order to eat, in order to nourish them. And so when you get born again, born from above, born of the water, born of the Spirit, if you will, born of the Word of God that lives and abides forever, when you get born again, you do have an appetite. It's just, what are you going to feed that appetite? If we're going to feed it the same junk that we fed it before we came to Jesus, we're never going to grow, which is the ultimate goal of being a newborn babe, desiring the pure milk of the Word so that you can grow and you can mature in the faith. That's what God wants. He doesn't want babies forever. He wants us to grow up into men and women of God, strong in him and in the power of his might. There's a reason why the Holy Ghost keeps saying that to the church of the living God today. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because we become weak in the Lord and in the power of his might, and we conform to the world rather than being transformed by being renewed in our minds to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God Almighty. And we have the ability to do so. What is that? We have the ability to prove not only to ourselves but even to others what God's will is for humanity. We get the opportunity to display the kingdom of God. We are the visible expression of the kingdom of God. Now, when we think of God and how he rules and orders things, think of what Jesus taught us to pray in the prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when there was chaos in heaven, God immediately addressed the issue. He cast Satan out to the point, I believe, now some might say different, but Jesus, when the disciples came to him saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus is like, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. But he also said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Dad hit him so quick and so hard, he's still trying to recover from that punch that Dad gave him. Because he still thinks he's going to exalt his throne. He still thinks he's going to be like the Most High. He still thinks he's going to have men worship him. He still thinks he's powerful. Power, but yeah, he's nutso. He is absolute nut. But he believes, and he still operates this way. Because if there was any fear in him, he would be trying to get people to do what he was doing at the beginning, which was leading the host of angels in worship and praise of the Most High God. He didn't have the keyboard over here or the drums over there or the guitar over there. He had them within him. He was music in motion, leading the angelic host in praise and worship of God. If he was in his right mind, he would be leading us in that worship. Pure, unadulterated worship of the Most High God that Dad seeks, worshiping him in spirit and truth. Not on this mountain, not on that mountain. Not in this church, not in that church. Not in this denomination, not in that denomination. You understand what I'm saying? But in spirit and in truth. Because see, the believer, the Son of God, is not a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, or Catholic, if you will. They may be fellowshipping in those denominations or those SEC BTS sets, if you will, but that's not what makes them sons and daughters of the Most High God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus, a king and priest unto their heavenly Father. That's not what makes you a child of God. It is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary for each and every one of us, taking our place, taking our shame, taking our punishment, by whose stripes we are healed and delivered and set free by God's mighty power and his outstretched arm, if you will. Has nothing to do with the label on the building. It has nothing to do with the denomination that we could belong to, whether we're independent or whether we're denominational. What matters is what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Yeah. We are saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, lest any man should try and brag or boast. No. It's the mercy of God. Hallelujah. All of us deserve hell, but God decided to release mercy. And the Bible says God's mercy is new every morning. Praise God. God ain't saving no demons, but he is saving humanity. If we'll just repent of our sins and receive him as Lord and Savior, it'll bring divine alignment into this crazy world that we live in today. Yeah. See, we don't bring our old man into this new kingdom that we've been birthed and born into, if you will. We leave the old man. No, that, you did. You died at the cross with Christ Jesus. I forsake you. I abandon you. I separate myself from you. I absolve myself from you. I whatever other kind of word to get you out of way away from me. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm just being, you know, using some antics, but you understand. I just want to be far away as I can from the old man because I want to embrace the new. And the only way I can embrace the new is to get rid of the old. And this is what Peter is saying. Get rid of the old stuff, man. What you doing walking around in wickedness? No, man, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The glory of God is on you. You're putting all that dirt on you. Get out of that pig pen. Get out of that mire. Come on, man. Live for the glory of God. Yeah. You know, you walk like a man of dignity and honor. You walk in who you are as a woman of virtue, if you will. Your beauty is not your outward adorning. Your beauty is that inward man. Bears the image and likeness of God emanating through this house that you live in so that people know and can see and recognize that there's a difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. There's a difference between the new man in Christ and the old man before Christ. Yeah. And you embrace it in all of its fullness. Because, see, if we don't gravitate towards what God is releasing to us, we'll end up going back to what God is trying to deliver us from. And who wants to have to continue to be delivered? I mean, you know, it's like recidivism rate of prison. And I'm not condemning or putting that down. But, you know, when many of the prisoners get released, the guards are like, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll see you by this time, you know. Whatever time limit they put on them. But they just know you're just going to get out there and you're just going to cut up and you're just going to be right back here again. And so, but not so in Christ. Yeah. Not so in Jesus. What do you mean not so? Not so. When we walk out of that prison cell, we walk out a new man. The devil can be around there looking at you saying, ah, we'll get you back. You'll be back. No, I won't be. Mm-mm. No, been in bondage and now I'm free. I like freedom better. Hallelujah. Praise God. I once was blind, but now I see. I like seeing better. Hallelujah. I just like everything about God, everything that he has for me. I just like it because he ain't got nothing but good stuff, and I feel it coming up. Something good is about to happen for you, and it's already happening now if you can believe it and if you can receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, something good. I know some of you, we hear that. We're starting to hear that more and more. And then when things manifest, you know, you don't want looking sad and sorrowful because it's, well, it didn't happen for me. Well, you're in line. You're hearing the same word. Mix that word with your faith and then wait patiently on the Lord. It is through faith and patience that you inherit the promises that they come into manifestation or fruition. Oh, praise God. Wow. Okay. Yeah. We got much to do and not much time to give. Aren't you glad that, you know, if the Lord Jesus tarries, that we'll be able to come back again. But here he says, as newborn babes desire. Yeah. Desire. Desire, heartfelt desire, desire the pure milk of the word, that by it, by what? By the word, you may grow. If it is true that you have experienced that the Lord is good, that's in verse 2. Everybody say the Lord is good. Oh, yeah, and his mercy endures forever. Glory. So let me read this and then we'll stop. Coming to him, hallelujah. Coming to him, we come to him on a daily basis. We are his. It's not like he's eluding us or moving away from us, but we just continue to pursue God. We wake up with the pursuit in our hearts and in our minds. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and you've heard it time and time again, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness and all other things will be added unto you. That's not just a one-time thing. That is a continual thing. That is on a daily basis. You're seeking first. First priority, first and foremost, you're governing your life and you're governing your day through the lenses of God's word, through the eyes, if you will, of the kingdom of God. You got kingdom of God perspective. You understand you've been born again. You're in this world, but you're not of this world any longer. You're not a byproduct of this world. You're now the offspring of God born from above. You have divine nature on the inside of you. You got God living inside of you. You got his spirit in you. As Paul says, don't you know your body is the temple or the house of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Ooh, yeah. Man, your property value just shot up 100% in value. Yeah, simply by believing the word. Man, there's not enough money in the world to purchase you because of what God has invested in you. You can't buy God's salvation with silver and gold. Peter said it like this. You've not been redeemed or bought or the price paid for you by such corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm wrapping it up. Coming to him as to a living stone who is rejected by men. You didn't reject. Many do. But chosen by God, and that makes all the difference, and precious. You also, everybody say he's talking to me, as living stones. Now, I'll take you on a little journey. I just believe that when Jesus was speaking, and when he was on his way into the, and some could take it a different way, and that's okay if they want to. But when Jesus was coming in on the, the triumphal entry, coming into Jerusalem, and they had laid out the palm branches and all, and Jesus was riding in on the donkey, on the colt of a donkey, if you will, and they were, you know, waving the palm branches, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And so, you know, they were, you know, praise the Lord. And he's like, somebody says, the kids were praising him. Somebody said, you know, stop them from praising you. And he's like, if they stop, the rocks will cry out. Come on, come on. The rocks will cry out. The rocks, everybody say the rocks will cry out. You as living stones, hallelujah. What if Jesus was prophesying concerning you? Because Jesus was dealing with the Israelites and the Jews, if you will. He was dealing with them, but he's like, if they stop praising me, I got some Gentile nations that's waiting. They're in the waiting to praise, and they're going to cry out in their place, if you will. Yeah. He says, I was sought by those that I didn't look for because they came to him. And so we come to him, but we're not dead stones. We're not rocks to be thrown in the water to just sink or skip over the water to fascinate our minds, if you will. No, we are living stones coming to the living stone, Jesus, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being, here we go, built up. Hey, the opposite of building up is tearing down. And dad's not tearing you down, but dad is building you up. Allow yourself to be built up in the faith, if you will. Allow yourself to be built up in Christ Jesus. Allow yourself to be built up as a son and daughter of the Most High God. Bear the image and likeness of God in this earth realm. People need to see Jesus. They really don't need to see us. Our lives are hidden in God in Christ. These earthen vessels that we now live in by the power and glory of God are for the glory of God. Let them see Jesus living inside of you, that word incarnate coming alive within you. Let them see that. He says, as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If these are acceptable, there must be some things that are not acceptable. But what we bring before God is acceptable. And as it goes on to say, and I'll stop here, for also it is contained in the scripture, look, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him shall never be put to shame. Stand to your feet. I'm going to end it right there. Never be put to shame. Hallelujah. This is no life that we need to be embarrassed about living before sinful humanity, because people have gone nuts. People have gone wild. Everybody basically has gone wild. They go wild in the church and they go wild in the world. But that stuff is of the devil and it's of sin. We've been delivered from the power of sin to the power of Almighty God. We once were darkness, but we're darkness no more. We are light. Therefore, we walk as children of light, circumspect, so men can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've done, everything you're doing, and even what you're about to do. We thank you for our guests. We thank you for the family of God that continuously fellowships in this place. And we pray that you be glorified and have been glorified in all that we do, not only now, but even after we leave out of this place. We thank you for those who are watching live stream, Facebook Live, and also Ustream. We thank you for joining in, and we pray that the Lord minister to you as you are watching. And if not, you can always come here live, or you can always send us. I think we have our information on there, how to contact us, and let us know. Let us hear from you. If God has moved on your life, praise God. We want to rejoice with you. If you give your life to Jesus Christ today, we want to rejoice in that and hear about it as well. Not that we would be glorified, but that God would be glorified, because there's no limitations. You know, there's no place that we can hide from him. He's where we are. And so may the Lord richly bless you and keep his hand upon you in Jesus' mighty name. We pray for the salvation of your soul. And if you're here in this tabernacle and you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're giving you an opportunity to do so right now. If you need reconciliation, you need to be restored in your relationship, we're simply going to lead you in that same prayer. But for you, it will be a prayer of reconciliation, you coming back to the Father. That prodigal that got away returns home to safety, and a celebration goes on in your honor for returning to God. And so with that, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We pray for every person listening and needs to receive Jesus as a Lord and Savior, that they'll pray these simple words. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sins. Blot out all my transgressions. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And according to your word and according to my faith, I am now saved. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, live inside of me, make me a new creation. Take away the old things, the evil things, things that don't please you. Take them away and fill me with your love, with your word, with your spirit. Give me understanding when I read your scriptures. And I pray that you will accept me to live for you all the days of my life as you show me how. Thank you for accepting me. I'm now a part of the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you prayed that prayer, you are reconciled back to God. Your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life as we are here, and we rejoice with you. If you have any prayer requests, you can always contact us. Our information should be there on the screen. We love to hear from you. And for all of you here in the congregation, lift your hands for the prayer of blessing over your life. May the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. May his name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because of who you are and whose you are. You are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, mainstay, proper supporter of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands, order your step, direct your path, and guide you with this eye in Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen. All right, we love you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Make sure you greet our first-time guests, second-time guests, and third-time guests, and just have a blessed rest of this Sunday. We will be back here at the altar at 6 p.m. Love to have you come for intercessory prayer. Amen.